Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes with you today. It's another edition of our Ag Perspectives podcast to share with you. Our guest today is the Executive Vice President of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, Michael Kelsey. We're talking state and federal policy with Michael. A couple of meetings kind of catch up on as far as policy is concerned and things that were discussed by your members, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association members, but also the Oklahoma point of view for NCBA. At the Reno Summer Business Meeting as well. In Norman, first of all, you had a chance to look at some policy issues. You'll tweak some more come first of the year in January, February. But let's talk about the things that maybe were on the minds of producers as they set and refine policy for the Cattlemen Association.
Yeah, this summer, so in July at our convention, top of mind was the drought. Clearly was the drought, and that was the discussion. So our policy's pretty good there, or is at least reaffirmed by our members. So, again, they're thinking, as you mentioned, kind of looking towards January, looking as we develop into the Farm Bill, which will play an importance in a minute when we talk about NCBA's policy and our involvement there. But the Farm Bill in helping develop more of that that disaster relief, some of those types of options. Interestingly, what from a policy perspective, what was top of mind by far and away were the two forums, the congressional district, second congressional district, and then the U.S. Senate. And then all the other elections surrounding that. We've got the runoffs coming up, and then, of course, the general coming in November. Governor's not in a runoff, but it is coming up in November and et cetera. And so that was a lot of the discussion on, you know, who's going to win, where are they at, who are the front leaders, and then where are they on issues that are important to OCA, and kind of refining our game plan to communicate with those that have been elected. I mean, we already have quite a few of the state legislators who finished their race because they only had a primary, or they only had a primary and a runoff. They had no general election. So we've set a lot of those. Okay, let's go out, meet them, the new ones, et cetera, and so forth. So that would be how I would describe the majority of the OCA policy discussion. Again, heavily influenced by the drought and what we can do, what we can't do in regard to the drought.
2021, it was all about marijuana.
That's right.
I mean, just insane how much discussion was going on at your meeting regarding medical marijuana and the grow houses side of things. Are you pretty pleased at what's happening as far as coming out of the legislative session of 2022?
Very pleased. Very pleased. Did we get everything we wanted and everything we needed? No. I think anybody, we all agree on that. But boy, howdy, the legislature really, and the governor's office really did a great job this past session on some really key important things. We saw one of the fruits of that labor here just recently when OMMA announced a prohibition on any new, a moratorium on any new grow licenses until they get their hands around the intense number of grow licenses that they already have. And so that was a result of the legislative session. Normally, we hate moratoriums. We just don't like to govern that way. But in this case, we needed that because we needed to give OMMA an opportunity to catch up. And so that's good. The signage language, the permitting language, the funding for inspectors, et cetera. We did, I'm using that term in Oklahoma, did a lot of good in this past legislative session. It was still talked quite a bit at OCA, but at our convention, but it was more in an appreciation of what we've got. Let's keep pushing the ball down the road, keep refining those things as we learn, but from an overall policy perspective, we're in good shape. Now, the final thing I'll mention that is State Question 820, the recreational question. Signatures have been turned in. We're watching very close is if that those signatures are going to be validated, which we would anticipate they would. They collected so many above the needed threshold. Then when will that be assigned? Excuse me, what ballot will that be assigned on? And I would imagine, based on our policy, we're going to come out hard against that and be part of the coalition to try to defeat that state question.
And this is one of those, in other words, there's been a lot of talk about constitutional amendment, but this is just state law.
That's right. Right, right. So that's very important. Thank you for bringing that up, Ron. So state question 820 would only be state statute. So it is not constitutional. That's very important. And the one thing we need to recognize, but not rest on that. We still need to get out, and should it come up for a vote, still get out and defeat it. But should it pass, at least it's only in statute. So the legislature can come in and modify it as needed. But boy, we just don't even want it on the books to begin with.
I guess what there's, you know, a distinct possibility will be in November, but not, it's not a slam dunk.
It isn't. It we know it won't be in August here later this month on the runoff. It just won't. There's not enough time to get it on the ballot. It's questionable whether it'll be on the general. Theoretically, they have time to get it there. It just depends on how soon they'll get the signature process verified, go through that process. And then remember that one thing to remember is if that's done a week before the election, it's not on the ballot because the ballots are printed about 30 days ahead of time.
Right.
And so really, they've got to get this done about October 8th or so in order to get it on the ballot. Now, there's a little bit of leeway there, but not a lot. And so can they do that? I think theoretically it's possible, but I think it's also just as good a chance that they won't, which in that case, we'll probably perhaps have to have a special election, or it'll be rolled into something maybe later next spring or something along those lines, which really creates a lot of question as far as voter turnout and that sort of thing. This is something to watch and to watch very closely. And so we encourage folks out in the countryside, OCA members, stay tuned and we'll keep you updated.
Before we go to the national, let's talk briefly about all the various interim studies.
Yes.
I know that you've looked at the whole list, mm-hmm. state Senate and state house. What catches your eye?
Yeah, there's we've marked about 13 or 14 of them. There's two that we're actively going to participate in. One deals with rendering. We just don't have a lot of rendering here in the state of Oklahoma. The heat event in Southwest Kansas proved that. We've known that, though, and so Representative Pfeiffer filed an interim study on rendering, which is great, and we fully support that. Also, we'd encourage folks to think about all the new processing plants we're developing and building, whether they're 4 or 5 head a week or they're 50 head a week. They've got to have some place to go with the offal, the hides and the livers and all those types of things that are rendered traditionally. We need to look at that capacity. The second thing we're involved in is a study with the Employment Commission regarding day labor. We use a lot of day labor in Oklahoma, and there's some question over classification specifically regarding employment and tax, how they're taxed, if you will. So we think we can do some things through rulemaking. We won't need legislation, but we need to have a conversation about it. And so that's one of them. The rest of there's about 13 or 14 others that we have identified just to watch. One of them deals with the state income tax. As we've talked time and time again, that state income tax is pretty critical from an elimination standpoint. If we eliminate the state income tax in Oklahoma, we'll see a heavy dependence upon ad valorem come into play, and that's just directly a negative to our membership. So we're going to be a part of that and watch that. There's some other things regarding water. There's some other things regarding private property rights. Most of those studies won't come into play until September at the earliest and October, but they're starting to set the meeting dates now and get the ball rolling and get people to come in and testify and so forth. So we're watching close.
You mentioned Farm Bill here a while ago. Let's transition to Reno, yeah. NCBA. One of the things that they came out with was the kind of the bringing together a wish list for 2023 Farm Bill from a cattle industry perspective.
Yeah, that's right. That was probably the biggest discussion in Reno, no matter the committee. There's 7 policy committees that NCBA has, and really doesn't matter which committee you were in. The Farm Bill was mentioned. It's really hard to develop hard policy right now because of the November election. Most pundits indicate that the House is probably going to flip in terms of Republican-Democrat, so the Republicans will be in the majority. That'll change the leadership and obviously then the priorities in the House Ag Committee. Of course, we're so blessed to have Frank Lucas. He'll be back on the Ag Committee, and so we'll be in excellent hands there. Now, he won't be the chairman, but he'll certainly be sitting right by the chairman, and so we're just so blessed with that. The Senate, who knows? I mean, it depends on a few states. Oklahoma's not one of them. We're going to have Republican senators, but where we go from there, watch Arizona, watch Pennsylvania, to some degree, watch Georgia. I mean, who knows? All that being said, it's hard to really set core, diehard farm bill policy right now because we just don't know who's going to be in the driver's seat on those particular committees. But we can set priorities, and that's what we did. So we looked at things like disaster assistance. We did talk about the food programs, but they take so much of the oxygen out of the room. That's SNAP and some of those types of things. You've got to acknowledge them and recognize that they drive the conversation, if you will. But we need to make sure that we have good quality conversations on the conservation programs, EQIP, CSP, CRP, all the alphabet soup acronyms, but certainly those disaster assistance programs, how we beef those up, no pun intended, and then also how we make sure more producers know about them and use them. Those safety net type programs, the insurance programs, forage-based insurance, all those types of things that are so fundamental, how we make sure we protect those. And then add on top of it the FMD bank, the vaccine bank, the animal health side of the farm bill, very critical as well. Far and away, that was the biggest piece of the conversation in Reno.
Everybody talks about, in as far as the farm bill discussions, they talk about the various risk management programs that are developed by the risk management RMA. Right. It's under crop insurance, which is really authorized separately from the farm bill itself.
It is, but they're interconnected. And so it you're right. And it's such a challenge to try to make sure those things fit, make sure they're paid for, and then make sure producers know about them and how they work and how they can work with the true disasters such as the fire and some of those types of things that we've seen, plus then those programs that you can sign up for, crop insurance, et cetera, and how they can offset some of the disaster drought that we may see and so forth. But you're right. They're two really kind of separate, but they all fit together. And they all flow together, and of course, they're all under USDA. And right. So that in itself we want to make sure we have good representation, good voice at USDA in those conversations.
Finally, we got a little something called a runoff coming up. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that at least briefly. You're obviously you've had a couple of discussions at the convention, but there's other races as well that you're going to be watching come August 23rd.
Yeah, there's the ballot. If you're a Republican voter, I should say, the Democrats, you get a little bit of a reprieve that your ballot's not going to be as full, I should say. In some cases, you may not even have one to speak of in terms of the runoff. But Republicans will. We've certainly got four state runoffs that Republicans will be participating in. You've got the U.S. Senate, the Labor Commissioner, Treasurer, Superintendent, Corporation Commission right. as well. My apologies, there's five. And then if you live in the 2nd Congressional District, you'll have that one as well. And that's regardless of your local state runoffs. Some Senate districts or legislative districts, and then I assume there's probably some county commissioners. I haven't looked that far down into potential ballots. I know on my ballot, personally, I've already pulled my own up to be ready for it. I only have those five races that we talked about earlier. I don't have the congressional. I'm not in 2nd Congressional District. So really important to turn out. That's the biggest key with the runoff. Turnout just tends to be really low. And the primary was already low in itself. So really thinking about motivating OCA members, make your decision and then go vote. Don't miss the vote. You have opportunity for absentee ballot. You have opportunity for early voting. You have opportunity on August 23rd itself. Make sure you go vote. It's just critical to get that done. But boy, there's still a pretty full ballot to speak of. Not as full as it was for the primary, but still a full ballot.
And then we got November.
And then here we come to the general. And we can't assume anything. I mean, I made the kind of a lighthearted comment, we'll have two Republican senators. I think that's the reality. We're a very red state. I mean, I'm not trying to be derogatory towards anybody, but I think that's reality. But You can't assume anything. You got to go vote. I mean, it's just that simple. And so when we get to that November election, obviously we're going to have the governor. That'll be the top of the ballot. Both Senate seats will be on the ballot. Both have Republicans and Democrats in that in those races. Never mind all the other lower ballot or down, what's called down ballot. And then if there's a state question or two, there is another state question that will potentially be on there that deals with retirees and tax credits on their homes. Not necessarily an OCA issue, but still very important to be thinking about as we get closer to that general election and learning exactly what that is so they go through that process. But you know, it's a big year,
And, you know, we've got an incumbent governor, but yeah, it's going to be a fascinating race. Between Governor Stitt and our education secretary.
It really is. I think there's a lot of folks that have probably made their decision, but it's still a long way from November. And as we probably will have a debate or two, as we'll see more commercials that are pro and con and against and for and paid for by the candidates and paid for by independent third-party type PACs and et cetera, I think it's just going to be that governor's race is going to be really, really interesting and really popular. Governor Stitt's been very good to the Cattlemen's Association. We have supported him with a beef PAC, but I think there's a lot of questions that people are asking. And so a lot of things that need to be answered, and it's just going to be really interesting to see how all that shakes out.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Kelsey, Executive Vice President, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, talking about state and federal policy. It's been talked about by cattle producers in recent days. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.